I'm joined by Jason Burke in Delhi. Jason, is the scale of this victory a surprise?
It is a surprise. I mean, the numbers are simply extraordinary. So you take a state like Uttar Pradesh, the key northern battleground state. There was a question whether the BJP could make inroads at all a few months ago. Then what inroads they would make, would they take 20 or 30 maybe of the 80 seats on offer? And now it looks like they've got virtually all of them. They've got more seats. The BJP have more seats in this one state, albeit a very large one, than the Congress Party have around the entire country as it stands at the moment. And nobody expected quite such an emphatic victory as this. And it opens up a whole range of new possibilities for good or ill. And it changes the political landscape of India forever. And it shows that the social landscape of India has already changed forever.
What are the key factors behind the victory?
Well, there's obviously the fact that after 10 years in power, the Congress Party and their allies are suffering from what here is called anti-incumbency sentiment, in that rather wonderful Indian phrase. But it basically means people have had enough of a government that hasn't performed in the way that they had hoped they would perform. So that means disappointed expectations. You've got to remember, this is a country that has experienced rapid, broad growth for 20 years. Now, that hasn't touched everybody. It's made the rich much richer, but it's made expectations much, much higher throughout society. Those expectations have been seriously disappointed in the last few years. There's a huge shortage of jobs. There's rising inflation, particularly for food, which hits the poor most. There are a range of other very serious problems which the outgoing Congress Party simply were incapable of solving. But it goes way beyond that. What the BJP have done and what Modi has done is connect with a whole range of new voters. They've connected with young people particularly. They've connected with people in small towns, in rural areas, which was never the case previously with the BJP. And they've promised them, or at least made them believe, that Modi is a man who can bring them economy, or economic growth, bring them development, bring them opportunities, and restore a deep pride in India. This is a proud country, a sensitive country, often to slights, perceived slights from overseas, and the sense of the loss of confidence that there was a few years ago in recent years has been quite palpable. And to bring back, I think, something that Modi has promised and the Congress Party were incapable of promising, and that's one of the key reasons for their defeat.
What does it mean for the future of the Congress Party and the Nehru Gandhi dynasty?
Well, the fact that we are once Nehru Gandhi dynasty and the Congress Party is quite interesting because the destiny of the two are intertwined, always have been intertwined. The Congress Party has ruled India for all but 18 years of the last 67. The founding fathers of India were obviously connected to the Congress Party, part of the Congress Party, founded the modern Congress Party. The BJP is a relative upstart, 30 years old, effectively, a bit more. The problem for the Congress Party is somehow they have to reconcile the deep change, which means that the old style of top-down hierarchy, authority, total lack of transparency, which is paternalism, which has been the hallmark of the Congress Party, has to go, and something much more transparent, much more open, much more reactive, much more modern in its politics has to be put in its place. Can they do that, though, without the Gandhis? Do they have to keep the Gandhis to keep any kind of broad pan-Indian appeal? What do they do if, as happens to so many dynasties, the younger members of that dynasty simply don't have the talents of the older members? And that's Rahul Gandhi, who has shown himself again and again really just not to have the capability that somebody like Indira, his grandmother, or Jawaharlal Nehru, his great-grandfather had. That is a problem they were going to have to reconcile. And when I was talking to Congress officials earlier today they recognize in some ways that it's a problem, but seem to have absolutely no idea what they're going to do about it.
Is there nervousness among the Muslim community at the scale of the victory?
I don't know, because I haven't been out talking to people. I've been in the BJP headquarters and the Congress headquarters largely, but there was certainly nervousness prior to the victory. There was also a sense of inevitability that that victory was about to occur. Not quite, as I said earlier, with the enormous margin, the crushing landslide victory that we're seeing now. That wasn't expected, and it will undoubtedly prompt some concern in among minority communities. I mean, for Muslim people, and I've been speaking to an awful lot in the last 3 months, Modi represents the worst of right-wing Indian politics. He comes out of the RSS, which is a very large conservative Hindu revivalist organization. He himself has been accused of standing by or even encouraging violence which targeted Muslims in the state of Gujarat when he was chief minister there. He denies those allegations, and the Supreme Court has found no insufficient evidence to substantiate them. But nonetheless, most Muslims in the country believe he was responsible, or at least involved in some way in that violence, and is very, very much a figure that is polarizing for them. Now, he is prime minister. He's been a huge number of their compatriots have voted for him. And that is necessarily going to provoke some degree, at least, a concern.
Okay, Jason, thanks very much.
Thanks.